Hi, my name is David Nally. I'm one of the community guys at CloudStack, and I have Chirdeep with me here. He's one of the architects of CloudStack, and he's one of the really smart people that works on CloudStack. So we realize that that networking tends to be the bane of most people's initial experience with any cloud, and particularly with CloudStack. There's so many options, a lot of complexity that's there, and so we want to talk about some of the basic network architectures in CloudStack today. So when you go to set up CloudStack, there's essentially some choices that you have to make. And historically we've advised people to start with basic, right? And basic really isn't simple or
yeah, basic is not that easy to understand, especially because of the distributed firewall that comes with it, the security groups.
Right.
Which is quite a different concept than most enterprise customers would be used to.
Sure. So a basic, when CloudStack talks about a basic networking setup, that's essentially what most people would consider a flat layer 2 network, right?
A basic network uses layer 3 isolation.
Yes, yeah, so it's layer 3 isolation, but it's a single flat subnet.
It's a single flat subnet, but because subnets are not scalable, mm-hmm. in the sense that you typically don't have more than 254 addresses in the subnet, so we typically are some data centers even restricted to /26 or /28.
Right.
So we recommend that you segment your data center by pods.
Sure.
And so when you start up your VM gets an IP in that pod.
Mm-hmm.
But your VM could be in any different pod, any different subnet. And so your VMs are not always in the same subnet. So
sure.
your VMs are all in the same data center, but they could have different subnets.
Can you explain how basic networking kind of works? Because most people automatically think about VLANs when they think about networking, and they want to jump into that.
Sure.
So explain some of the differences.
Yeah, the reason I think to call it basic is because a lot of people find it difficult to contact the network admin to configure a VLAN on their switch. And so what basic lets you do is to get away without configuring VLANs.
Mm-hmm.
So all you do in basic is that you tell them what is the network you want the VM to be on. And then the hypervisor is instructed to make sure that when you start a VM, it gets that IP,
mm-hmm.
and then only that IP can access that network. So you cannot do things like spoof the IP address, you cannot respond to somebody else's ARP request, mm-hmm. So there's what we call anti-spoofing protections built in at layer 2, and then at layer 3 is where the isolation is, because you can set up rules to say, can other guests talk to you? Can the internet talk to you? Can you talk to the internet?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the security group service comes into play.
Right. And so when we talk about security groups, this is that terminology kind of originated with Amazon with EC2, didn't
that's
it?
Right.
And so that's effectively filtering at the hypervisor level, right?
That's right. So it's a host-to-host firewall. Mm-hmm. And then you can tell, per account, you can set up these ingress rules, which mm-hmm. says that, can the internet access your application at which port, and also which other VMs in your data center can access you.
Right. And so, from what I understand, basic networking also allows you, because you don't have the VLAN limits, tends to be used when you need to scale really large.
Correct, because with VLANs you have a limit of 4,094 VLANs in the data center.
Right.
So that limits you to 4,094 accounts or customers concurrently running networks in your data center.
And not to mention that the switching hardware that can keep up with 4,000.
That's very expensive.
VLANs tends to be incredibly
yes.
expensive. Yes. So we've talked about basic. We have several others. We have that advanced virtual networking.
Yeah, advanced virtual takes advantage of VLANs.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that each tenant or customer gets their own distinct VLAN, and on top of the and so what they do they give it.
We were talking about advanced.
Advanced virtual. So yeah, we use VLANs to isolate different customers and tenants. And actually, the way the code is written, you can use something other than VLANs, but that's a topic for later discussion. We can use something like Open vSwitch or GRE tunnels to isolate. But assuming you're using VLANs, which is what the 2.2 code supports, each tenant gets their own VLAN, and then on top of the VLAN, they get their layer 3 services like DHCP and firewalling and VPN and load balancing. So it's a very sophisticated, very complete package where customers can run, you know, what we call a virtual data center.
Right. And so that really gives you flexibility. I know we were talking earlier about some of the services and some of the features coming in 3.0 with truly network as a service.
Right. So the network as a service feature will let data center admins or the cloud admin to define which features a customer can get.
Yeah.
So today we have something like service offering, which says, well, what CPU and what memory. It's like a catalog of of capacity you can get. And similarly, you can, the admin can now design a network offering, which says, well, you get VPN and firewall, but no load balancing. Or you can get load balancing, but if you want load balancing, do you want the sophisticated one with the Netscaler, or do you want the one with the basic one with the virtual router?
Right. So with advanced virtual, effectively, the data center is providing a trunked port, and CloudStack takes care of the routing, right?
That's
provide
correct.
A virtual router.
That's right.
And they provide, I suppose for isolation reasons, they provide a router per account.
That's right. That's the best way to scale it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also choose to use something like a Juniper SRX, which is an external firewall,
mm-hmm.
what we call an external firewall feature. In which case, in 2.2, that Juniper firewall tends to be the router for the entire data center. So everybody shares that. It's actually quite neat because it makes a device which is not multi-tenant, it makes it multi-tenant.
Right. And so, but that's called advanced direct, right?
It's
if you're using an external device?
It's still called advanced virtual, but you have a choice of using an external firewall provider.
Oh, interesting. So you're just offloading the firewall piece and not the routing itself?
No, it's both for routing and firewall. The only difference is you still use the virtual router to do DHCP service.
Okay. So tell us about Advanced Direct.
So with Advanced Direct, there were I think the first use case we came across was for the MPLS use case, where a customer wanted their it's a large telecom service provider,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted their customers already using their MPLS VPN to connect their on-premises network into the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were already trunking their VLANs into their data center. And now, well, how can they use the cloud to, you know, maybe burst capacity or, you know, transparently use services? So we offered this service called Direct Tag, where we would allocate an account, a VLAN, a specific VLAN,
mm-hmm.
to an account. And so then the routing and firewalling was all taken care of by the telecom service provider.
Mm-hmm.
So all we did was offer a DHCP service, which is what we call an IP address management service.
Right.
And the rest is all, you know, offloaded to whatever exists in the data center.
Sure. So that's kind of a hybrid approach almost. It's still retaining some of that legacy network management.
Correct, yes.
Layer. So we've got those three models. Tell us why we would use each of them, and what's some of the downsides and considerations of them.
The basic zone, as we discussed earlier, for the cloud provider, it's very attractive because it scales
mm-hmm.
almost infinitely. We have some customers running with thousands and thousands and thousands of hosts with this model. So that's the primary attraction of that model because it scales better.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't offer the same level of services on top of basic network. We don't offer VPN or load balancing. Well, we do load balancing, but you don't get port forwarding, you don't get VPN, and there's a couple of other things you don't get. So if you want the full feature set, like you want to operate a virtual data center, then you would use the advanced virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the VPN, you get the load balancer, and everything you want.
So we really try and tell people to stay away from Advanced Direct because that's still that legacy way of thinking, right?
It is still attractive because there are some, for example, some of our dedicated guys, customers who use or traditional dedicated hosting providers,
mm-hmm.
they have customers using VLANs already in their data center.
Right.
And now they're starting up this cloud infrastructure on the side. Well, how do you connect your legacy customers into the cloud?
Sure.
So that's how we use Direct Attack for that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you talking to us about this.
You're welcome.